You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called, If You Knew Better,
You Do Better.
Okay.
So today's episode is all about knowledge and how this saying, if you knew better, you do better, isn't actually accurate. It doesn't work with the real life that we live. Real life, no myth is our goal here. And so we want to attack this myth. So it's been coming up a lot recently in my walk, in my ministry, and actually in my devotional time. So just yesterday I was reading Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, Jesus says, the one who hears these words and does them is like a man who built his house on stone, right? And he says, all this stuff happens, storms come, rains, and all that stuff, but the house stays. And then the person who doesn't do this is like someone who builds their house on sand, and then all the storms come and all that stuff hits, and the house is destroyed. Yeah. The reason this kind of resonated, because as I was reading it this go round, because I've read it a bunch, but this time as I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus was telling us at the end of that was like, hey, all this stuff that I've told you, just knowing it isn't enough, because things are going to happen. Life is going to happen. You're going to get hit with storms. There are going to be things that try to knock down your little sandcastle, whatever it is you built. And if you have not been doing what Christ has said, not just knowing it, but actually doing it, then what you built isn't going to stand up.
Yeah.
And so there's just this idea of wanting to know more, of needing that knowledge so that you can do better. Have you experienced any of this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about with that?
I do know what you're talking about. And it kind of makes me think of when we were kids, there was this saying that came out, or maybe it came out before we were kids, but it's that knowledge is power.
Yeah. That's Schoolhouse Rocky.
Yes.
A Chip Off the Block.
Yes. The more you know.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. The more you know, knowledge is power.
Yeah. And what Jesus, I think what you're getting at and what I'm hearing is Jesus was saying, like, the knowledge itself isn't the power.
Yeah.
Just knowing it isn't the thing that does it. And we see so many times in scripture, his power being referenced.
Yeah.
And when we see that, especially like I'm looking at 2 Peter, cause I've been there this week. The divine power that we're given, is different from the knowledge that we're given.
That's right.
That he gives us is, that we would be able to show his glory and his excellence. And then we have to actually have that knowledge working actively by doing things in our faith. So
yeah, by actually doing, oh, another one, knowing is half the battle. That's a G.I. Joe reference. Do you remember the old G.I. Joe?
No. I was into different things than G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe was my jam. But anyway,
cool.
No, you're right. In scripture, it's not about just the knowledge, just knowing. And this thought, this if you knew better, you do better. This is something that's been around in our culture. Maybe not that phrase. That might be a little hood. I mean, have you heard that phrase? Was that used in your home?
Not in my home, but I know I have heard it.
You have heard it?
Like, yeah.
I've heard this quite a bit. This is something that has circled around in my early upbringing and culture. And but it's not new. It's not a new phrase. It actually comes out of the Enlightenment, this idea that knowledge is transformative, right?
Right.
Whereas I'm not knocking knowledge. Please hear me. School teachers, I know you're on break right now, but listen, I'm not knocking education. I think it's important. I think knowing stuff is important.
Yeah.
But what's more important is the doing. And so in the Enlightenment age, you had all these people that were so focused on what they knew, on trying to get the knowledge and trying to allow that knowledge to transform them, that they were disillusioned. Because what happened was, after they learned all this stuff about psychology and sociology, all this stuff about the human body and anatomy and politics, what ended up happening is, right after the Great Enlightenment, we had World War I. And so what happened with World War I was, all these people that were so disillusioned by the Enlightenment about, oh, we have all this knowledge now, society's going to be awesome. Then they saw people come along and be like, hey, we have all this knowledge. Now we know how to destroy people quicker, because now I know how to make mustard gas. And now I know how to make biological and chemical warfare. Now I know how to drop bombs on people. And so knowledge didn't transform the heart of man. And yet we still kept this idea that just knowing is enough. And what people struggle with, and what I've dealt with in my walk and in my ministry, is that people are afraid to take a step. They're afraid to do anything because they don't feel qualified. They feel like they don't know enough to act.
Yeah.
And so the action is hindered. It's paralyzed.
Yeah.
Because of their inability to accept that they have to do something, and it's more than just knowing.
Yeah. So the more knowledge that we had, the more ability that we had to do good, but also to do evil. And I think the Enlightenment is maybe just one of those periods in history where we can see that that happened. Because I think with even like going further back than that, the Renaissance period and all of these great periods of history where we know more and we've discovered more and there's so much more in the universe and we can now use that. But we see that the human heart is inclined mm-hmm. to one way that it tends to go.
Well, and we can even go back further. The book of Ecclesiastes. So Solomon, Shlomo himself, he said at the end of chapter one, he said, "For in much wisdom is much vexation.
Ooh.
And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow."
Right.
So sometimes the more you know, the more struggles you have.
It's true.
Because you're now more responsible for what you know.
Yeah.
And there's now more responsibility placed on your actions. Because if you're still not doing what you know, then it's worthless.
Yeah.
Here's an example, right?
Yeah.
So, I know how to lose weight. I mean, just putting it out there, I'm not bragging. I'm right. not a health professional by any means, but, I've read some things. Mm-hmm. I've seen some videos. I understand basic caloric math that if you burn more calories
yeah.
than you consume, you will lose weight.
Yeah.
Like I get this.
Yes.
I know that, eating healthy and eating good food mm-hmm. helps build my body up.
Yeah.
This is knowledge that I have obtained. I know how to work
it's
out.
It's in there.
It's in there. I mean, like it's locked in.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, just knowing that has not made me eat better, has not made me choose to deny myself anymore, because just knowing better isn't enough to make me do better.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be some sort of transition, some sort of change that takes away mm-hmm. This desire for selfishness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
that's what it really is. It's like, I just want more information so I can
know
I
it.
Guess know it.
I'll know more than others know.
Than I knew before.
Yeah.
And then I'm better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and what you're saying kind of reminds me of labor. You had said something like, well, just because you know more,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily change what you're doing or what's happening.
Yeah.
And when I've been in labor twice now, I've seen a lot of women in labor, having been a birth professional and a certified doula. So I see the value of educating women mm-hmm. on the process of labor and what happens in the body. And they're, I mean, on a chemical level, here's the amount of hormones that we're going to have surging through your body. And it's just amazing to know all of this. I will tell you that knowing that and mm-hmm. knowing the names of all those hormones and knowing why different organs make them and what their purpose is, did not change the fact that labor hurt.
Yeah.
It did not change the fact that I still had to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing it in the middle of labor didn't make me go, oh, okay, well, it's not so bad then. You know, it didn't change the fact that what I had to do was still what I had to do.
Yeah, it didn't take the action away. The action step wasn't removed just because you knew the knowledge.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. I like what you said about knowing didn't take away the pain.
Right.
A lot of times that what I've seen in counseling people and just dealing with life in general is that a lot of times we want to know what the next step is, or we want to know why something's happened.
Oh, always.
Because of pain or because of fear of pain. One of the questions that comes up a lot is, you know, well, why did God let this happen? Or why would God allow me to deal with this sort of pain?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question back. And I don't say this in counseling sessions, but we're on the podcast. I can say this here.
You're not counseling.
No, I'm not counseling. But my question is, would knowing change the pain at all? Would knowing the why change your experience? Because I'll tell you what, you had talked about birth, right?
Uh-huh.
And imagine if you were given the baby before the birth.
Okay.
Right? You still got the big tummy, everything else is in there except for the baby.
Yeah.
They gave you the baby.
Right.
Magically somehow. But then said, okay, now this is why you're about to go through a bunch of pain.
Oh no.
You have to now deal with the same amount of pain. But now you know why. Now you've got this baby in your arms. Would it change or would it make the process any easier?
No, because you still have to feel it.
You still have to
go through it. Yeah. Even knowing why you have to go through it and what the end result's going to be. And that makes me think of when we look at our lives, mm-hmm. sometimes we think, well, why God? Why me? And why? If he were to say to us at the beginning of life or at the beginning of our awareness of the difficulty of life, hey, you're going to go through all of this stuff. This is, I'm going to put you through this. And, but at the end, this is the reason why.
Yeah.
This is all of the answers that you need. It doesn't change the fact that that is still going to be hard for us to experience. It doesn't change the fact that, well, those things are still going to have to happen. I'm still going to have to experience those losses and those challenges and those victories and those valleys and those mountaintops. And so, yeah, knowing isn't the power. The power doesn't come from just having the information given to us. And we see that with the Pharisees, who had so much knowledge of the scriptures. I mean, they had to memorize things and they were very knowledgeable men, but it did not give them the power.
Yeah.
Knowing alone was not the power. In fact, when they encountered the power of Christ, when they saw the divine mercy and grace of God right before their eyes, their knowledge actually hindered them.
Yeah.
Their full, like, arrogant knowledge hindered them from being able to see it and from being able to live it out in their own lives.
Well, and it's because when they got that new revelation of Christ, they weren't prepared for anything new because they hadn't done anything with the revelation they had already received.
Okay.
Because throughout scripture is all about Jesus. And so this knowledge and this understanding that they had of the Torah and the Talmudic law, like all this stuff they were taught, they didn't actually understand how to apply that fully through the lens of an all-loving God.
Yeah.
And so when they got that new revelation of Jesus Christ, of the law fulfilled, they didn't see how to apply that because they were stuck with a barrier of this knowledge that they had that actually hindered them. And one of the pastors I listen to sometimes on podcasts or different teachings is Matt Chandler. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said, I think he was talking in the book of Philippians, but he was talking about how everybody wants a new revelation from the Lord, but nobody wants to act on the revelation they already have. So like everybody wants this newness. They want to know more.
Yeah.
But the question is, what are you doing with the knowledge you already have?
Yeah.
Like you already have a measure of wisdom, a measure of grace. Like God has already blessed you with something.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing with that? Before you start asking for more stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? What are you doing with that
bit?
No, I'm asking you, Kylie. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and you talked about getting stuck.
Yeah.
Our knowledge making us stuck and us not moving forward. And actually, there's a very firm example I have in my mind. One of the times I got to be involved in a birth, there was a woman. So in labor terms.
Is this whole podcast going to be about labor?
Hey,
is this the birth podcast?
It's the baby podcast now. Apparently, it's all about babies.
It's all about giving birth. Go ahead.
But we have this term we use called being complete.
Okay.
When a woman is ready to give birth, her body is complete. Everything has come to that place. And this woman was there. She was complete. She was ready. But she was not pushing. Everything about her physical state said she should be having a baby right now. This baby should be sliding on out. And she was so stuck in her pain. And she was mentally going through all these things that she was not ready for.
Yeah.
And going through all these questions and answers that she needed to where she was physically stopping her body from going into, from completing the labor that she had already begun.
Yeah.
And we get there in our walk. We get there in life in general. We get so stuck with, I want the answer to the question.
Yeah.
I want to know why. I want to make sure that I'm prepared before I get to this. When God gives us the task, and sometimes he gives us the answer later.
Yeah.
But we stop ourselves from experiencing what he wants to birth in us.
That's good.
Because we're just so stubborn in wanting more knowledge. We're so stubborn in the mystery.
Yeah.
When we want the pain to end, or we want to know that the pain's going to be worth it, and we want to fight that pain, but we end up resisting the progress. And the only way we find that I've seen that we can fight the pain, at least in labor, is by surrendering to it and acknowledging, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen next. There's just no guarantees. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a divine mystery, truly. But I'm just going to surrender to it and let it do what it's going to do in my body. And I've seen it physically in a woman where once she surrenders to that, and I've experienced it myself, but once she surrenders to that, the labor happens without her knowledge driving it.
Yeah. And it's, I like that image. There's so many good analogies in birth.
I know. We're going to talk about birth one of these times.
And it's even better for me because I've never had to give birth.
Wait, what?
And I know it's weird, right? This isn't odd. For those of you listening, I've never given birth. I know it's a shocker.
Not physically.
But I have been there for both of you, your births.
Yes.
And have been very present and active in that. But
absolutely.
The analogy of not wanting to take that next step for fear of pain and not wanting to, like, wanting to know it's going to be all right before you move forward.
Yeah.
And we're not promised that. We're not promised the answer. We're not promised that everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But what we are promised is that God's going to be with us in that next step.
Yeah.
We are promised that no matter what happens, we're going to understand more about God. We're going to understand more about ourselves as we move forward, not as we sit there and contemplate and be like, okay, it's not a game of chess. Like, you can't sit there and use a strategy to figure out what God's going to do in your life and how he's going to. Because I'll tell you what, I never thought I would be a pastor in Northwestern Kansas ever in my life.
That wasn't in your...
No,
your
I didn't sit
plan?
Back and was like, okay, God's going to put this here, boom, and then I'm going to move here, bam. And then Northwestern Kansas, here I come. Like, no, that wasn't anywhere in there. And so what God does, though, is he gives us these opportunities every day to take that step, to move forward. He shows us that he's there. He shows us that he loves us, and he shows us that he's trustworthy from his past. And then he says, now trust me with your future.
Yeah.
So you don't have to know better to move. You don't have to understand anymore in order to trust God and take that step forward.
Yeah. And what you're talking about is that word faith.
Right.
Which is the moving forward without knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah. But it's not blind, though. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Our faith as believers is not blind. Sorry, I cut you off. I didn't mean to do that.
You're good. You're good.
But our faith is based on who our faith is in.
Yes.
And so the issue I have with that concept of blind faith, your faith is not blind. Because God shows you every day who he is. He shows you from the entirety of your life as you look back and you look and you see all the stuff he's done, as you read his word and you see all the things and the truth that's there.
Yeah.
And then he says, okay, look at it, looking at my track record, look at my rap sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Now trust me. Do you trust a God that does this?
Yeah. Which is crazy. You said that, look at my rap sheet, not to get all political, but
is it crazy?
It's not crazy, but I'm saying
crazy.
It's nuts. Oh my goodness.
He said rap sheet.
But looking at the way we deal with culture, when we encounter someone, if we know they have a rap sheet in the media, we know they have a rap sheet. We're going to look back at that. No matter what their character shows us in the moment, we're going to look back at their rap sheet and say that that's who they really were.
Wow. Well, I know it depends. Depends on what they look like.
But I'm saying we're so quick to go back to that for a human being and say, well, look at what they used to do.
Yeah.
So that's really who they are. But when it comes to the Lord, we have 66 books that show us, and countless testimonies that show us this is who God is. And we want to say, wait a minute, I don't really know if I can trust that.
Because right now things don't feel the way that
I don't feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
And it's
good.
It just shows us how weak we are in our knowledge as human beings. We will take what we know and we will twist it to fit our emotions of the day, flavor of the month. That's what we do.
To fit our agenda for that moment.
Right. And I was reading in 2 Peter, and he talks about in the beginning of this letter, he's talking about like confirming the calling and election of God's people. But he says, for this very reason, in verse 5, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this knowledge, this knowing stuff needs to be in community with these other virtues, with these other things. You can't just say, well, I know this information and therefore I should be able to move forward and do everything perfectly.
Well, and you can't, just knowing something doesn't give you the experience.
Right.
All my my folks who have gone through college, and you graduate with that piece of paper, and then you go to that job and you say, ooh, look at this piece of paper. They say, sweet, start at the bottom.
Yeah.
Because just because you have the knowledge doesn't mean you know how to apply it. There's this... there's this understanding of those who have theoretical knowledge yep. and those that are practitioners, those okay. that have learned from doing. Mm-hmm. And we can have all the theoretical knowledge in the world. You can know how things should work. You can know how things are supposed to line up. Mm-hmm. But until you actually put your knowledge into action, until you actually start using that knowledge and becoming a practitioner, you don't actually know this.
Yeah.
It's a theory. It's just kind of this.
It's this.
I went on in a different language. It is this. It's this ethereal, you know, 1,000-mile view
yeah.
of something when we need to be in the trenches. We need to be down there being practitioners of our faith, being people that move forward with every inch of our body, not just knowing something and expecting to just jump in at the end.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, hey, I knew that. So I can be the pastor now. Right. I read a book.
Right. Because I saw a video about being a pastor.
Yeah. Oh, I could definitely preach better than him because I've read this book twice.
Yeah.
And so I clearly
it's
know.
Really, it really does happen though, folks. Yeah. It really does get said. If you know better, you're not necessarily going to do better. This is the whole point.
That's
the myth. And that's the myth. If you knew better, you'd do better. Sorry. I'm trying to make it all grammatically. Like,
if you will pretty. Shall know better.
If thou knowest upon thyself.
Hereforth knowledge.
And one of the things I've heard this with, heard this in is, with regard to recovery.
Okay.
And so, I remember talking one time about, it was with your mom.
Okay.
We were talking about smoking. We were talking about, okay, we know the effects of this. We know how it affects the body. We know. And I remember saying like, well, do you think if your mom knew that she would, maybe if we told her and you were like, babe, she knows.
Yeah.
She knew. Everybody reads the Surgeon General's warning it's printed on the label of the cigarette box.
If you went through fifth grade science class, explain.
If you had DARE
at all,
any DARE right? education, you know. So the knowledge is not the issue.
Yeah.
We have so many campaigns and things that try to educate more.
That's right.
And education is valuable and it's good. But for the most part, we understand that what takes a person from opening the cigarette box, is it a box? Carton,
whatever you call
container,
it, container, can
opening the, I think it's the can of
in a
cigarettes.
Ziploc package is how you buy cigarettes.
What stops the person from unwrapping the cigarette in its individual? That's a cigar, anyway.
Anywho,
what stops them from doing that is not reading the label; it's the understanding and the desire and the discipline and the commitment to change.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you're right. I'm still laughing at the cigarette thing because that's just really funny to me. But no, you're right. And that idea of the knowledge being transformative or just, okay, if I know enough, then I can just stop doing it. Like nobody gets to start in the middle.
Ooh,
you don't get to just
say it again.
You don't get to start in the middle. You don't get to start at the end. Like even if you have the knowledge, you have to start and go through the process of transformation in everything we do in our life. It doesn't matter if it's a job, if it's our personal walk, if it's some form of addiction that we're trying to recover from. Mm-hmm. You can't just be like, all right, I know this is bad for me now, so I'm never going to do it again. There are people that can quit things cold turkey.
True.
But I'll tell you what, this is from my limited experience in life, but I found it to be true every time. People that can drop a habit or an action, that was never the thing they were addicted to. There was something in their heart.
Yeah.
And they will just shift their action to something else.
Yeah.
Because once you have the knowledge of something, you can be like, oh, okay, I can just drop that. Okay, that wasn't something you were connected or attached to.
Yeah.
Anything you can just drop like that without going through the process.
Yeah, yeah.
But anything that brings life transformation, there's a process and you have to go through it.
Yeah.
You have to go through the storm. As Jesus told us in Matthew, like the storms are going to come. Just knowing his word doesn't keep us away from the storms. Mm-hmm. And so I guess what you should take away from this is not if you knew better, you do better.
Right.
And we were watching these John Chris videos and he likes these little quirky pastor sayings. And so I'm going to throw this one out there and we'll see if it sticks. You know what I mean? We'll throw it on the wall, see if it sticks. This one, instead of saying, if you knew better, you do better, I like, if you go better, you'll know better.
Okay.
You see, like that's catchy. It's got a little ring.
That if you can go on a t-shirt. Better,
but this is why I like it. So go, like if you actually do what the faith says, what you know is right, if you just move with the knowledge you already have, then that knowledge that you have is going to be fortified.
Yeah.
You're going to know it better. If you go in the knowledge, not just go recklessly, not just go wild, but moving forward, go better, go in the knowledge that you have, then you're going to have a better understanding. And then there's going to be more knowledge given as you go through trials, as you try to understand new stuff that comes up.
Yeah.
So I like it. If you go better, you'll know better.
What you said, if you go with the knowledge you already have, sometimes the knowledge that I already have is as simple as I'm a broken human being.
Yeah.
And I cannot do this on my own.
Ooh, that's
and we
good.
Think like, well, all I know is that I'm a broken person and I have sin and I have issues and I've been hurt. That's all I know. Okay. Know that to the fullest.
Yeah.
Sometimes the weight of that and the conviction of that and the hurt in that is what we need to feel and to go through in order to gain the knowledge for the next step.
That's right.
Knowing the hurt and knowing the brokenness is part of your knowledge that's necessary, not just for faith, but for dealing with relationships and job and all the things that come at us. Mm-hmm. And so if you're one of those people that's like, you know what? The only thing I know is how much I don't know. Good. Yeah. Maybe the purpose of that lack of knowledge is for humility.
Mm, that's good.
And that's from experience, because I know there've been so many times like, God, I just, I just don't know.
You've had to be humbled
before? I've had to be humbled by the Lord in him saying, yes, you don't know.
Yeah.
And how much you don't know could fill 10,000 oceans. Mm. But what I do know and who I am is enough for your lack.
That's right. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know. Mm. See, all these little quotable things, little preachable preachers things. It's not the knowledge that you want. It's the knowledge that you have in Christ.
Yes.
And I like what you said about, you know, maybe all you know is that you're broken. Maybe all you know is that you know nothing. All you need to know is that God has called you to move, to go.
Yeah.
And so when we were going to Victory Church in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Pastor Kurt had said this thing. He said, wherever you are, you don't need to know the end. You don't need to know the finish line. What you need to do is you just need to do the next right thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Whatever presents itself to you and you understand, okay, I understand wrong from right for the most part, unless you're a sociopath, you pretty much get wrong from right.
Or a toddler.
Or a toddler, which is like the
same
thing.
Which you shouldn't be listening to this.
A sociopath and toddler, pretty much the same thing.
I'm just saying.
I mean, truth, no myth. Okay. And so just do whatever that next right thing is. If you know that holding on to a grudge is wrong, then maybe you should start letting go of the grudge.
Mm.
You don't have to know how to fix the situation. You don't have to know how to solve the issue. But I know being angry all the time is wrong.
Yeah.
So the next right thing that I can do is I can start letting go of this anger.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, cutting people off in traffic and waving the one-fingered wave at them is wrong. So maybe for me, the next right thing I can do is just be a little more polite in traffic.
You're talking about pinky wave?
Yes, definitely the pinky wave. It's like you're throwing up the J for Jesus in sign language. That's exactly what I was talking about.
Well,
that
and,
wasn't what I was
and
talking about.
Also, if you know that it's good and right to serve others and love them, you don't have to know their situation. You don't have to know why they're doing what they're doing. You know what is right for you.
That's right.
And scripture tells us that he who knows the good they should do, he or she who knows the good that they should do, but does not for them, it is sin. And
that's
so if we know the good we should do, it doesn't matter what unknowns are out there with the people we encounter. We know what we should do. And so therefore we just move forward in faith and watch God work through that.
Yeah. Instead of trying to figuring out, whoa, what?
What?
Instead of trying to figure out, I'll get it together. Leave me alone. Instead of trying to figure out 5 and 6 steps down the line, just know that next step and commit to that. I can't remember who says it, but he says, trust God and follow God and trust him with the consequences.
Yes.
Like, let him deal with your consequences. Yes. You don't worry about what's going to happen. Just know that you need to move forward from where you are.
Yes. So a couple of resources for you. If you're a reader, if you're somebody who likes to study, there's a book that
it's called
you,
the Bible.
There's 66 books in that. You'll want to read
all
of those
background
at some point in your life. But also The Red Sea Rules by Robert J. Morgan.
The Red Sea Rules.
Like it's not S-E-A. S-E-A. And it's not rules like the Red Sea Rules. That's how I first read
it. It could. I don't know.
It does.
Never been
it's
there.
Pretty awesome. But it's just a great book about faith, about stepping out without knowing all the reasons why. And it's really short book. You can even get it on Audible. And then honestly, Desiring God, Meditations of a Christian Hedonist. Now that's a heady read. So if you've got like 5 years to dissect that one by John Piper. I would say
read the Bible first.
Yes.
Before reading
all. Pastor, we know. Pastor's always going to tell you, you need to start with the Bible. Yes. But the pastor's wife here is telling you there's also some books you can read to help you in that journey.
I got you.
That are biblical and grounded. You. Okay. So The Red Sea Rules by Robert J. Morgan, Desiring God by John Piper. There's a ton of other ones, but those are just two that stuck out to me as we were closing this up.
In the Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. That's a good one.
Patterson, yes.
Yes. Good. And if you know of any other resources that help with this topic, please let us know. Comment on the post. Comment on this video. Well, it's not a video. Comment on whatever link. They're not confused.
They're like, was I watching the video the whole time?
They're listening. They understand. Comment. Leave us the information so that we can get it out. So we can share with other people whatever resources that you have found that have encouraged you to move forward in your faith, to move forward in your job, to just move forward so that you're not stuck and petrified in this, if I knew better, I could do better situation.
Yeah. So we hope that this episode has helped to kind of come to the table and discuss the challenges that we all face with wanting to know more and thinking that we should know more in order to do more. Or if you knew better, you do better.
That's right.
And if you have any questions or comments about something that you heard today, please send us a message, leave us a comment on social media. If you have our contact information, just reach out to us. We would love to engage with you. And next week, we're going to be talking about the concept of love. And so we hope that you'll join us for that because it's kind of been a labor of love to talk about that. But we're going to talk about what love looks like, how we think it should look, and what scripture tells us about that.
Amen. So. Well, this has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope that you have gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.